Oh, it is a good morning to everyone on this fun Friday. Got a big day of sport ahead of us. We've got the Masters in action. You can roll through to the footy tonight. Port Adelaide take on Richmond's going to be an absolute belter here at all here on AFL Nation. Got AFLW preliminary finals over the weekend. There's group racing up in Sydney. So much to be thrilled. Country, a lot of country footy resumes. The unfurling of flags that have been in mothballs for a number of months.
And you're concerned that there may be some holes in the flags?
Well, I just hope they've
check your flags carefully before you put them up on the hoist.
The flags have been stored properly, Wispy. You wouldn't want to have the unveiling and then have a dirty great hole in the middle of it.
That would be an embarrassment, wouldn't it?
Last night at the SCG, Essendon jumped the Swans. So much hype around this talented young Sydney side. They jumped them. They raced to a 25-point lead. It was exciting. It was exhilarating. And it kind of it got to a goal, and then it got to two goals, and you thought, oh, well, Sydney will hit back soon. Then it got to three. And then they were in total control. Half-time came, they fought back. Quarter-time came and they just got going. They sort of just went a bit of footy around the contest, got back into it. And then it was just sort of ebbed and flowed. I could not have been more impressed with both sides. I've done the Sydney talk and we can talk about them now. I watched them last week. That's the first time I've sat down and watched Essendon. But could not be more impressed with their kids as well. It was so good to watch.
Isn't it impressive, though, when you see a team, just talk about Sydney for one second, about the fact that, you know, they got behind by 25 points or whatever it was. Essendon was playing all over them.
Yep.
For them to be able to gather themselves like they did and then quickly get the momentum back flowing their way, they've got that great capacity because they will go and play a tighter brand of footy, Sydney, when it's required. It's been something that's been part of the way that they've been schooled over a period of time. So they've got a lot of young players in that team, but they've got a lot of experienced players there still that have been part of that system for a while now. So that was one of the most impressive things. And then I thought, okay, well, they're going to go away with it now. Yeah, they've got the game back on their terms, and then Essendon fought back. They were a bit inaccurate in front of goal. They had their opportunities, Sydney probably, to put Essendon away a couple of times, which they weren't able to do. But I think, you know, like if you're a Sydney fan, you walk away from that game, you're already excited about what you're seeing. I think if you're an Essendon fan and you're thinking, okay, where are we at as a club? Was the decision to go with Ben Rutten the right decision? Is he going to be able to put some sort of a game and a strategy in place that is something that's going to be sustainable for us to watch as a fan? Then I think we're starting to get evidence of that.
Yeah. And when you judge the whole, I know he's the front man that's going to cop it in the neck when they lose and he'll get the plaudits when they win. But you looked at that coaching box last night, a couple of shots that they took. Daniel Jean Syracuse is sitting on one side of him. Blake Carousel is sitting on the other. These are super experienced footy people, so they're all working towards it. There was a stage there where it went, I don't know, it was Jeremy Jones had a contest, then Cox came into it, and then Tex Perkins.
Yeah.
All three of them were just involved one after another, and in the end, Jones ends up kicking this goal, and that's where you thought, wow. How good. I do think
Harrison Jones.
Yeah, what did I say?
Jeremy.
Who's Jeremy Jones?
I was trying to work out who he was. Jeremy I thought Jones. I might have missed somebody out there last night. Jeremiah Jones.
I'm not sure, having watched Sydney last week at the MCG on the wide open expanses, that tighter SCG is going to be suited to the way Sydney play. I think Essendon structured up so well, they were denying them the ball use that they'd enjoyed for 3 weeks. And I reckon that sort of stunned the Swans a bit. And they turned it over. They kept turning it over. Stringer intercepted about three balls in a row, two of them end up goals. And I thought, gee, the adjustment has to be made now. And that's why they did. They made the adjustment on lots of fronts, but particularly adjust to the size of that ground again, I thought was pretty telling.
Let's talk about Nick Cox. Okay, here's a kid over 200 centimetres tall, goes to Essendon during the preseason, becomes the number one endurance runner.
We spoke to him last year, remember? How good was he to talk to?
He was great. He was a kid who was fixated and dedicated to wanting to be an AFL player, so he had the right attitude. He apparently interviewed extraordinarily well, which you'd expect. I mean, we interviewed him, but when clubs interview, they're obviously asking different questions. So he's quick, he's tall, he's got great endurance. He's almost exactly what you'd be looking for to play the modern game of football.
One quality you haven't mentioned.
And he's very skillful too on both sides.
There's one more quality that you haven't mentioned that you and I rate highly.
Well, he's very competitive too.
Thank you. Thank you. He's a competitive animal.
Like, I don't know that there's a box that he doesn't tick.
No. He was...
And he's courageous too. Like, for a string bean kid, there are a couple of times he positioned himself in front of packs to take marks as well. And knowing that you're probably going to get some heat.
He embraced the run around the ruck. I know you don't like it, but I loved it. don't go up for the ruck. Just do everything else. He embraced the runaround because Peter Wright was ineffectual. And I've spoken about Peter. I don't want to be seen to be bashing Peter, but he's got to be more competitive. That Sam Reed mark that he took on Peter Wright in attack was just – anyway. So then they go, okay, we've got to get more competitive in the ruck. So they put Cox in there. He doesn't do much around, you know, from the ruck, obviously, because Hickey had his way with him. Mm. But by hell, he was up and down the ground. He was marking in defence. He was pushing forward. Mm. He'll be the NAB Rising Star. So that's the end of the Swans run. Fair enough. They've broken all records. And gee whiz, if you just wanted a prototype, wait till he stacks up. Well, he just puts on some beef.
He's not going to be a big, heavy sort of a kid.
Well, he won't because of the way he plays. He could if he wanted to.
Yeah, I don't think he'll get stronger, obviously, over pre-seasons and things like that. But I think there was a lot to like about the kids that Essendon played last night. And there's another kid, Reed, that hasn't played yet, who's a very good player
and fresh.
And fresh is coming along nicely as well. And Ridley, I think. You know, if you haven't already taken notice of this kid, he's one hell of a defender, Ridley for Essendon. Daniel's in Croydon. Good morning, Daniel.
G'day, Wispy. How are you, mate?
Good.
That's good. Just want to get your thoughts on Zach Merritt and what Essendon needs to do to keep him. Do we need to make him captain now and just say, here's the next 6 years, mate, this is your club, and just pay him whatever he wants? Because his effort and tackling, and he was just outstanding last night, Merritt.
Daniel, you know, I was thinking last night when I was watching him play, I was thinking that he's playing, I think, he's got more of the ball in games and, you know, past seasons, that type of thing. But I reckon he's playing a much better balance of football inside and out. When he first started, when he came onto the scene, and Bomber Thompson was coaching, and Bomber, I remember talking to Bomber about him. Bomber loved him as a player. Mm. He said he was the most competitive kid, you know, combative type player. Small, but would get in, tackle, do all that sort of stuff. And then they seemed to want to play him in a different role outside of that. I reckon, you know, as a player, you've got certain natural instincts about the way you play. Mm. I reckon he's playing more as the natural Zach Merritt now than what he was.
Hard to argue. He started the season brilliantly, and yeah, it's going to be an issue, Daniel, through the year that the Bombers will work and do everything they possibly can. If they keep playing like that, it's going to make it easier. why all the talk about Cox? He only got 18 touches as a midfielder. Now, come on. I always praise our audience for being knowledgeable and smart. That guy might be taken, or lady might be taken, the P155, but he's a huge athlete who wins the time trial, who kicks at 60 metres both feet, marks it in a contested format, can play on the wing and play in the ruck.
And he's 18 years of age.
And he's 18.
And he's playing his fourth game of AFL football, and he didn't play any football last year because of COVID. So
that's why all the talk is about Cox. Mills in the middle has been a revelation. They've wanted him to play there for a long time. I know that, you know, having spoken to Roosey regularly. I didn't think he could play midfield because he never seemed to get the footy. He was always a 13 to 15 to 16 possession player. He's been unbelievable through the middle. Isaac Heaney breaks his hand. He just keeps breaking stuff, Isaac Heaney, which absolutely devastated me. Parker was superb. And then the go-to for Horse when they're under some pressure or they want to just sort of lock things down is they throw Sam Reed behind the footy. And Sam Reed went behind the footy and clunked them and was really important by the end of it.
He was very important. How big a loss to them is the injury to Heaney, a broken hand? I've never had a broken hand, so I know there's breaks and there's breaks. Yeah.
You can get some breaks you can get back within a week. They'll put a plate in it. The plate's, you know, supposed to make it stronger if it's if it's not a major bone. But they're better suited to cover the loss of Isaac Heaney now than they have been for, I know, in recent memory, because, you know, Buddy didn't play last week. Buddy comes back. Reed's playing better footy than he has for a long time. Goulden's genuine. Wicks has, you know, sniffed around. He got well beaten last night, Wicks. And so they've got some depth. They've got a lot of depth now, which is exciting for Sydney Swans.
Very exciting. And Papley, too. Like, he just keeps bobbing up.
Well, I thought Hine did a great job on
him. No, he did, but you can't keep a great player, a great small forward like that, out of the game forever. Yep. Robbo in Mount Eliza, what about this? Ridley's a good defender, very insightful boys, big call. He won the BNF and All-Australian last year. We're just talking about him, Robbo.
Well spoken, Robbo. Yeah. Steve's in Bullock. Hey,
thanks,
Steve,
for listening to our program, though.
Steve.
Hey, there's a lot of sarcasm there today for you, boys. You sort of
assume they're trying to stick it in your neck.
It's supposed to be
anyway,
fun
Friday,
Steve.
Steve, we get this every day of the week, the smart asses out there.
Hey, listen, Timmy, I'm Essendon. It's just great from the Essendon perspective that we've got some young kids and they're doing well. I like Hand, number 33. I love him and that guy from West Coast. I got him. We just seem to have
Waterman.
For once you can see down the track, we've got to have some depth coming up.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that what you're seeing now is hopefully the outline of something in the future, and that's what gets you excited as a fan.
Good on you, Steve. Enjoy that. Just go back to Robbo, who had a crack at us. He won the best and fairest and was an All-Australian last year. Was he All-Australian, Ridley?
I didn't think he was.
No, Robbo. Come on, Robbo.
Was he an All-Australian?
Robbo.
He was in the 40-man squad there.
He wasn't an All-Australian, Wisp. Mm. Justin McInerney is another one. His first name, Justin? I've got the first names wrong a little bit. Number 27, the played on the wing. You know who I'm talking about.
He's a running machine too.
Oh, I liked his level of excitement. What about when he jagged a couple of goals?
He gets up and about.
He was up. And this is, again, you see these young kids and you go, how comfortable do they feel playing, you know, in the big, sometimes you can be intimidated. Not the Sydney boys, which I think is a sign of a great club, is that Goulden was, he was instructing Errol Goulden last night, saying, you go there, and was sort of.
And Bud looked at him.
Buddy looked at him and said, I'll go where I want to go.
Buddy looked around, I think he said to Peps, who is this kid?
No, I'll tell you what Buddy did. Tom Brady style. Tom Brady drops a Rolex into the lockers of his defensive protectors. Buddy will be doing that to Errol Goulden. Errol was, he just fed him on a platter, really. And Buddy's a smart footy player, and he knows very well that when Errol gets it or when the lizard gets it, then it's going to be some nice delivery. You're not sure on the lizard.
I'm not sold on the lizard like you are. I'm not sold on him. I may be wrong. I'll be the first to admit that I am wrong if he doesn't become a superstar player.
I'll have to point it out to you. Will Hayward, there's one that's waiting in the wings for Heaney. So good point. And Pete, who's from Narre Warren, is a great Swans man. He was also a great fan of Justin McInerney. Very good player last night.
A very nice player.
Hey, other nice footy player. Stuff, and you can join us. You can call us in if you want to talk more about the game last night. We've already spoken about that. We have actually put an official request in for someone to tell us whether the spoil of Aaron Francis that was paid as a free kick for not doing all that he could to keep it in play, despite the fact that he punched it away from the greatest forward of the modern era. We need to know if that was a right free kick or not. Because if it was a right free kick, it could be hanging them up. Hang up the microphone.
It's going to make life difficult for some. When we come back, we'll take a break. When we come back, I want to ask you a couple of questions about Dan Hannabury. He's broken down again. Another soft tissue injury.
All right. Justin Rose, outright leader at the Masters at 4 under. The best of the Aussies is Mark Leishman, who is even with the car.
The country is back racing strong. Support local communities and visit country.racing.com.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Sing along now. This is for some of the people out there a little bit cranky this morning. Wispy loves this song. He works into every one of our music days. How did you get this into our Masters theme music?
Well, this is Hallelujah. That's Jeff Buckley for Amen Corner.
Oh, nice.
Or Amen. Amen.
Nice. We are talking footy. We're now talking, well, we can talk about anything, really. We've got big game tonight. We've got Richmond and Port Adelaide. We've got the women's AFLW preliminary finals coming up. We've got St Kilda playing against the West Coast Eagles. Been hard hit by injury again. Further bad news yesterday with Hannabury and Geary to be out for extended or longer periods.
Are you worried about Hannabury now, Dan Hannabury now?
Yep, I am.
He was recruited in 2019. He's played 13 games, 2019, 2020 this year. So now he's got another soft tissue, which means probably another month on the sidelines. It seems, and look, I feel sorry for him because we know, and you know him too, in as much as that.
Hardest worker,
really dedicated to training, preparation, commitment, all that type of thing. And then he pushes himself up, gets to that point where he's almost ready to play again and push it to another level, and then he breaks down. So it has to be it has to be wearing on this young man's mind now.
Yeah, well, indeed. And when it's so pivotal to who you are as a player, like that's his whole identity, Dan Henabry.
Mm.
Hardest working player. I'm a massive Henabry fan. I used to watch him just for periods of time, and I'd never seen anyone run like him. So he needs to be able to do the miles, needs to be able to get those miles in his legs to be able to play in that manner. Geary's not, I heard last night on the news, it's not the broken leg, it's an ankle. He's got an ankle spur or something. I think he's going back in for surgery on that. So that's going to be a further complication. So no, they've got their work cut out. They play a red hot West Coast Eagles. Ooh, red hot.
Yeah. But the one thing though is that they play them here in Melbourne and not over there in WA.
Yeah.
That's what they've got going for them. They've got their ruckman back too. I don't know how fit he'll be, Marshall, but he's a very, very influential and important player.
Yeah, I don't know whether they can beat the West Coast Eagles. I would not be tipping them, but we could almost guarantee, given the heat and given what we've heard and given, you know, they've got some character in that side that we think they've got, they'll be having a go, Wisp.
They will. Have you jumped off them yet or not?
Oh, I think they're going to have their work cut out, but no, I'm always, I know we've got to give opinion and make comments and that, but we've got to give them a chance to bed this thing down and play 6-8 weeks before we can really make an assessment, but they've got their work cut out.
Can I ask you another footy question, and that is about the Thursday night fixturing, and we found out that the AFL have changed their mind about that. So the Thursday fixture goes up to round
7 and 8.
7 and 8, right? Yep. And then there's no more Thursday nights.
No.
7 and 8's Friday night. There's no more Thursdays.
No, the fixture goes to 7 or 8. The Thursday runs out in one more week.
One more week, okay. So then there's no more Thursday nights. Are you surprised? I'm surprised that we're not going with this as a regular fixturing exercise.
I wanted to ask you, given you run the Channel Wisp sort of, you've got the ear of the man who runs it, would Channel 7 be going into AFL House banging the table and saying, hey, give us, because as I'm reading in the paper today from Ralphie, he says that 7 and Fox Footy's best rating games are the Thursday night games.
Yeah, I think...
Why wouldn't the broadcaster who are paying the big checks not have some sort of say in it?
Well, they don't get everything they want, Gary, and this is the thing. No, they don't. They don't get everything they want.
Why don't they? This is
another example of that, because they would desperately want Thursday night.
Explain to me the rationale and logic behind Gill and Dills and everyone else sitting there. Travis Old, and they sit down and they go, oh, a couple of lattes, please, and I'll give me a few of those donuts. Right, what are we doing Thursday night?
Gary, the only thing I've read and the only explanation that's been given is that they think that in terms of scheduling other games, it becomes difficult for everybody to fit around it.
Right, pre 2020, we go, yeah, I understand it, 5-day breaks, not anymore. We've dealt with that. We dealt with it last year. The clubs dealt with it, the players dealt with it, and the world didn't cave, the sky didn't fall in, we dealt with that. What next? What's your next issue?
Yeah, well, I don't understand. I think people do love, that came through on the text just then, people love Thursday night football. Mm. I think people do love Thursday night football. And the dynamic fixturing is interesting too. And, you know, some people say, oh, well, I can't plan for when I go away, that type of thing, and booking flights. And I completely understand that, okay? But I think then there's a lot of other people who probably aren't as invested in either of the teams that are playing in that game who think, I just want to sit down and watch two of the better credentialed teams play on a Thursday night or a Friday night.
Will they get to the stage where they go, I want to watch those teams, but I've watched Richmond 3 nights in a row now. Can we see someone else?
I think maybe there'll be a small percentage of people who'd say that. But
Tigers
if you get
tonight,
the game that you want, okay, if you get a game that you want and you completely and utterly engrossed in the game and it's competitive and it's close and it's all the things that you like about your football, probably not. You'll be enjoying that, seeing those teams.
Yeah, so Tigers tonight and then the Tigers Friday. I think they've got Geelong certainly in one of those games on a Friday night and another big Friday. So they got 3 in a row. So you couldn't argue about the quality of the game.
No, you can't.
It's just whether you want to see more different heads around there.
But that's right.
Sydney got a good run, as they should. The Western Bulldogs would get a good run, as they should. I think Melbourne have got a good Saturday night game there, so they've started well. So I like the dynamic fixturing. Thursday night footy, you want it or not. Russell's in Pakenham. G'day, Russ.
Morning, boys. How are you going?
Good, thanks.
Boys, as you know, I'm a Saints fan, and I'm actually concerned for you. To be honest with you, I actually can't see us winning another game for the year. we have recruited Henabry, as you said before, 13 games in 2 years. Mistake. Max King, the hype at the end of the last year, he bulked up.
Russ, can I just stop you? No, I'm going to let you talk again. I don't want to be rude to you, but were you thinking this 3 weeks ago?
No, not really. We're actually lucky against round one against 2WS. Technically, we should have been zero. We should be 0-3.
Well,
we were that lucky against GWS, boys. It wasn't funny.
You're not. Are you seriously worried about Max King?
I am. I am actually, boys. The hype at the end of last year, from the club that he had actually bulked up. He's going to be taking tested marks. He should be kicking at least 3 to 4 goals a game with this new ruling.
He's only a young fella, Russ. He's only young.
No, I understand, Gaz. He's only young. And look, I hope he. You know, he can be like Tony Lockett and kick, you know, 80, 90 goals a game. Obviously not the size, but, you know, and the likes of Brad Crouch. Let's give him 3-4 more weeks and see what he can do. I'm actually really, really concerned.
Hang in there, Russ. That's my advice. Hang in there. 3 weeks ago, everyone had the Saints as a genuine top four contender. They got some injury issues that they're dealing with, but hang in there. That would be my advice. Saints supporters are probably a bit gun-shy, maybe.
Yeah. Hang in there, because I think what happened last weekend was more about attitude than anything. And they may not beat the West Coast Eagles this weekend, but I think we'll see a far different outfit than the one that went out there and played against Essendon.
What time did the game start last night?
It was a 7:20, I think.
Magnificent. If they get it to 7:10, then we're on the money. The conversation starter for the all-new Kia Carnival, Australia's first GUV.